In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is, never shall be.
There's an important story in the life of Elijah the prophet that we find in 3 Kingdoms chapter 19, or 1 Kings 19 in most English Bibles. Just prior to this event that I want to refer to, there has been a time of drought in Israel. Israel was under the rule of the evil king Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel. Idolatry had become prevalent in the land, so prevalent that Elijah had challenged the false prophets of Baal to a power encounter to prove whose God is more powerful. And whoever's God answered with fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, that was the God that was the true God that we should worship. And after God answers Elijah with fire from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, the altar, and all the water that's poured on the altar, surely God has proclaimed his name in the midst, and rain returns to the land once again. The amazing thing is, when Jezebel hears about that story, she's not overwhelmed with what has just transpired and the reality of the idolatry that she's introduced into the land. She's upset with Elijah, and she swears that she's going to take Elijah's life. And word gets back to Elijah that this is indeed the case, that she has promised and sworn that she is going to take his life. And he decides in fear to make a journey down through the wilderness to Mount Sinai and seek God there. Certainly it is motivated by fear of that statement that Jezebel is going to take his life, but it's also probably in part out of despair. He's been battling this evil, this relentless evil, and what will it take? I mean, if this doesn't happen, if this doesn't quench that desire for evil, fire from heaven, then what is it going to take? And I'm sure there's a sense that there's a despair that he's feeling in the midst of this fight that he's undertaking. So he makes that long journey, a 40-day journey through the desert wilderness, and comes to Mount Sinai. And there he sets up camp in a cave, and that's the setting for the event that I want to call attention to this morning. It begins with the Lord speaking to Elijah and saying, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah proceeds to tell the Lord a story of how he got there and everything that has happened in the history of the country up until this point, and how Jezebel is seeking his life, and this is why he's here. And the Lord says, "Go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord, and the Lord will pass by." So Elijah comes out to the edge of the cave and stands there, and he observes a strong and mighty, powerful wind pass by. But we hear very clearly that the Lord was not in the wind. And then there is a powerful earthquake that shook the earth beneath his feet. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a raging fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then came a still, small voice. And Elijah wrapped his face with his mantle and went forth from the cave, because he recognized that this indeed was the Lord in the still, small voice. And I think it's an important story because, in a sense, I would suggest that that story from Elijah's life is very much an image of how God interacts in our lives. Most of the time, we don't find an experience of God in the loud, dramatic moments. God doesn't come to our life as an earthquake or as a flood or a fire or a dramatic wind. Most of the time, God is speaking to us in that still, small voice. And much of the time, we miss out because it is a still, small voice that God speaks with. Frankly, it's because our lives are often too busy and too noisy. There's too much activity. There's too much stimulus for us to focus on the reality that God is there. Certainly, one of the features of the Lenten season is the practice of simplicity and quiet. Great Lent is a time when we're supposed to slow down our pace, a time to turn off much of the external noise of our life. It's a time for quiet reflection, to simplify our life, to simplify our time commitments with less external distractions. Why is it that we do this? Why do we practice during this time simplicity, quiet? And I would suggest that in part why we do this, we follow these practices so that we can once again hear that still small voice of God in our lives. Our lives become cluttered with so many time commitments, with obligations, with overstimulation of various kinds. We become distracted by all of that stuff. The simplicity and the quiet reflection opens our heart once again to what matters. It's in that slower pace, in the quietness, that we discover God once again, who is there. The truth is, for many of us, we become so accustomed to the noise that we simply can't live without it. I mean, go to any store and you can find this whole section that's in there on sleep aids, and one of them is a sound generator to make all kinds of sounds to make us sleep. Why? Because we become accustomed to sound. It's interesting, on some of it's even in iPod apps, I mean iPhone apps and Android phone apps, you can get these same very things, a sleep sound generator. It's interesting to see some of the things that are on there. It's not necessarily, you know, the waves or, you know, the call of the jungle or something, which some of them have been traditionally those kinds of sounds. But now if you look in the categories of the things they have, it's white noise and brown noise and pink noise and electric fan, and it's all these kinds of things. Why would you want to sleep to these sounds? But nonetheless, there they are. And I think it shows us how addicted to sound we are, how the external sounds of our life fill our life. How many times do we recognize that the television is on and we're not even watching it because it just becomes background noise? How many times is the radio or the stereo on in the car and we don't think about it just because it's on all the time? And we're not listening necessarily, it's just noise in the background and it becomes commonplace. And I would suggest that in that context, it's really difficult to even hear ourselves think. I think sometimes perhaps that is the point, though. I think we don't want to hear ourselves think, because when we quiet our lives and we slow down the pace, it's then that we discover what's really going on inside. And in fact, perhaps we've been avoiding what's going on inside. So in that context, when we're addicted to the noise, in a sense, the quiet can itself be a deafening roar for us. When we face the quiet, though, it is in those moments of simplicity and quiet that we can discover what's going on in our hearts, in our minds, the things that we're feeling, thinking, the things that are running in the background. It's true, we frankly don't always want to hear that, but we need to hear that. We need to recognize what's going on inside. We've been praying the prayer of St. Ephrem, and that last phrase, O Lord and King, help me to see my own sins and not judge my brother. And we need the practice of quieting down so we can discover our own sins. If we're not quiet, if we're not listening, how will we ever know if the Lord speaks to us and is convicting us of sin? We certainly need to quiet down to hear that still small voice of the Lord. He's not often found in the rumbling earthquake or the roaring of the winds. God doesn't generally raise his volume above the volume of everything else that's in our life. I would suggest that generally speaking, God is there and he's ready to speak, but he awaits us to quiet our life, to simplify our life, to listen. He's willing to speak, but we have to be quiet and we have to listen. And hand in hand with the quiet is certainly the practice of simplicity as well. Think about how much of the time our lives become needlessly complicated. We fill our lives with so many activities, so many things, too many things. And our lives become filled with obligations, and before long it's difficult to make time for the things that truly matter, the things that are most important in life. Much of the time when we find ourselves facing a difficult decision, it seems difficult and it seems like the answer is so hard to find. And I would suggest that oftentimes the answer isn't hard to find. In fact, the answer is rather simple, but our lives have become so needlessly complicated that we can't see the simple answer that is right before our eyes. We often make our lives so overly complex with the various commitments and things that we're doing that even simple decisions start to feel complex because we've made our lives into a complicated maze. There really is beauty in simplicity. Simplifying our lives has many benefits, and certainly one of those benefits is in the spiritual life. And Great Lent is reinforcing this idea for us. It's reminding us this is a time for us to simplify our lives, to lessen our obligations, to prioritize what's really important and not worry about those things that aren't so important. We focus instead on our own repentance, on our own prayer life, on our own spiritual growth. Instead of other time commitments, we fill our life with the services of the church, for example. By simplifying our lives, we can discover the rich and abundant benefits that come. We simplify our lives, and guess what? We find ourselves, ultimately. By simplifying our lives, we rediscover God, who we have lost touch with. He's always been there, but we fail to recognize Him because there's so much activity, so much clutter, so much noise. There truly is beauty in silence. There truly is beauty in simplicity. And we need to recognize how we have lost touch with ourselves and ultimately lost touch with our God. And it's through the concentrated effort of the Lenten practice of simplicity and quiet that we discover those things that we have lost. We find ourselves once again. We find the God whom has gotten lost in all of the clutter of our lives. God has not left us, but it is in fact the noise of our life, the clutter of our life that has blocked our eyes and ears from hearing and seeing Him. We must return to the simplicity and to the quiet, because it's there, it's in that place that we once again hear that still small voice of God in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.